The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov, Howard. First of all, thanks to an ardent listener who wrote in to correct some of the things that I said yesterday about school children going back to school. I said that first and second graders were back at school. In fact, first, second, third, and fourth graders have already been back at school for a little while. We said that the fifth and sixth graders would be going back this week and hopefully the 11th and 12th graders next week. An ardent supporter of yours as well, Howard, I should add.
Oh, thank you.
A person who will remain nameless because we don't want them necessarily to have to suffer any consequences as a result of my revealing that information. But thanks for the update anyway, and thanks for the correction.
Yeah, and
I'm always open to corrections.
I was just going to say, you know, we're so comfortable with that. I think it's so important. It's absolutely not possible to get everything absolutely right. I mean, I definitely make up a lot of stuff. You don't generally, but it is possible, of course, for mistakes to happen. Let's just talk about. I mean, there's so many issues or so many items that I wanted to discuss with you. But let's just start off with the. The IDF have now confirmed that Israeli warplanes have attacked targets in Syria belonging to Iranian Quds forces and the Syrian army overnight. What is the reason for this attack? And isn't it unusual that they are claiming so, having done so?
So, you know, we've seen in recent weeks, months, and even, you know, the last, let's say, 6 to 12 months, that the Israeli army is a little more inclined to take responsibility for at least some of the attacks that it carries out beyond the borders. It never used to be the case in the past, and there are still situations when things go unanswered or rumors are not verified, neither denied nor confirmed. In this particular case, the IDF actually did put out a statement saying that IDF warplanes attacked military targets which belong to the Iranian Quds Force and the Syrian army overnight. And they claim that the attack damaged warehouses, command posts and military complexes and batteries of surface-to-air missiles. I think the last one is a really important one as well, because we do know that there are these surface-to-air missiles that are set up in southern Syria only to defend Syria against attacks from Israel, because there are no other aerial attacks that might be coming into that area. And the reason for these attacks follows on the back of the fact that Israel has found some improvised explosive devices that were planted apparently several weeks ago by local Syrians under the command, we are told, of Iranian Quds Force along the border between Syria and Israel. We're not told exactly where on the border these explosive devices have been planted, but we would imagine that they're planted in an area where Israeli soldiers may well be damaged or maybe injured or even killed. And so therefore, the purpose of them would really be to try to somehow do damage to IDF soldiers, and that would obviously not go down particularly well. And this is not the first time that we've experienced this, because there was a situation a few months ago where, back in August, I think, when IDF troops actually foiled an attempt by Syrian forces, Syrian individuals. I'm not quite sure if they're part of the Syrian army, but certainly Syrians, to try to place these explosive devices along the border. They present a threat, obviously, to soldiers who are patrolling that border area in the first instance, trying to prevent any of the fighting that's going on in southern Syria from spilling over the border. In the second instance, also to make sure that those Iranian forces who are in southern Syria, of which there are numerous, let's not underestimate the extent to which Iran is now really entrenched in that southern Syria area, to prevent them from encroaching on our borders. We have been led to believe that three military personnel were actually killed in this attack that took place last night. We're not sure whether they are Syrian or Iranian-backed troops, but certainly there seem to have been some casualties as a result of that attack. And if we believe what the Syrian state-run news agency has reported, they've said that Syrian air defenses intercepted Israeli aggression and downed a number of missiles that had been launched. And that may well have been the case. I'm not quite sure if they were successful in intercepting some of these missiles. But if we believe what the IDF is saying, then it seems as if quite a lot of damage was caused. People were killed. So certainly some serious damage that was done in southern Syria last night. Even though Israel has increased the forces along the border. More troops have been stationed in the north. Even an Iron Dome battery, we understand, has been put in the north just in case there might be a retaliation. I think the reality is that not much of a retaliation is expected in this particular case, but we can never be too sure, and therefore never be too cautious about making sure that everything is ready just in case there might be some retaliation. But certainly things on the Syrian border continue to be quite tense, and you know, even though we have a few weeks and maybe even some months of relative quiet, you know, things clearly are still tense there. And one of the other jobs that the IDF soldiers have, not only securing the border, but also making sure that those civilians who wish to take shelter in Israel for medical treatment, for other reasons, are allowed to do so. They actually facilitate those Syrians who wish to come into Israel for humanitarian reasons. There is a group of people who are there in order to handle that, medical facilities. Some of those Syrians, as we know, are also treated in Israeli hospitals. So that is also one of the jobs that they have to do when stationed on that northern border.
Right, not easy one at all. The Palestinian Authority has announced that it will resume cooperation with Israel. What preempted this?
Yeah, so we know that the Palestinian Authority have broken off their ties with Israel over certain events that they weren't particularly keen on. In particular, this whole discussion that went on for some months about the possible annexation of an area within Judea and Samaria, which then suddenly went away quite quickly and seems to certainly be in abeyance as things stand right now. But of course, as a result of their decision to cease cooperation with Israel, they've also decided that they're not accepting the tax money from Israel. And the main reason for them deciding not to accept the tax money is because Israel makes those deductions from the tax money, which is equal in amount to how much is paid by the Palestinian Authority to families and people who have been involved in attacks against Israel, families of those people who might have been killed during attacks against Israelis, and also individuals. The Palestinian Authority paying out a lot of money, still continuing to pay out a lot of money to people who are regarded as terrorists, families who have supported terrorists, as a form of encouragement, we would say, to people who wish to potentially carry out attacks in the future. Now they've decided that they wish to re-engage with Israel and to cooperate once again, which also means, by the way, accepting money. The tax money apparently will now be accepted. And the official announcement that came from the head of the Palestinian Authority, General Authority for Civil Affairs, he is the person who's in charge of coordination between Palestinians and Israelis, said that the Palestinian Authority has decided to renew its relations with Israel, including security coordination, after receiving assurances that Israel would abide by the signed agreements with the Palestinians. That was the statement. And apparently some letter, if we believe what was stated by them, then apparently some written and verbal letters were received confirming Israel's commitment. And that under those circumstances, the relationship will be restored. And we also have understood that there are European countries who have transmitted information from Israel saying that Israel does not plan to make any unilateral steps, take any unilateral actions within the Palestinian Authority area, within those Judean Samaria areas, which might be under some disagreement between the Palestinian Authority in Israel. So all of this means two important things. First of all, that the Palestinian Authority will accept this really needed money. This money goes a long way towards dealing with a lot of issues that the Palestinian Authority are having to deal with right now. And the second which is that there is security cooperation between Israel and the Palestinian Authority. Now, even though this security cooperation is important for Israel and it certainly does serve to help Israel's case. One shouldn't underestimate the extent to which the Palestinian Authority really benefits from the security cooperation, because the Palestinian Authority is very much under threat. They feel that there are a lot of enemies against the Palestinian Authority, and Israel provides a lot of security information to help them to somehow respond to those threats. Also, quite interestingly in the background, is this whole attempt to reconcile between Fatah and Hamas. And one has to understand that it seems as if those reconciliation attempts might be falling apart, because this decision to re-engage with Israel will certainly distance those two organizations from one another. Fatah, of course, being the part of the Palestinian Authority, Hamas not seeing eye to eye on Fatah's cooperation with Israel. So one wonders whether some of the reason why Fatah and the Palestinian Authority distanced itself from Israel was to somehow see if they could get closer to Hamas. Those attempts, from what I read between the lines, seem to have failed, or at least are not progressing anywhere. So therefore, the Palestinian Authority are saying, well, if we can't get closer to Hamas, we might as well re-engage with Israel, because we've got all these other advantages, which are fairly immediate. So that's me reading between the lines rather than knowing certain information from on the ground.
Yeah, it really is. We don't have a lot of time, and there are a couple of things I still wanted to chat to you about. One of them was, of course, the fact that it's all over the news this morning that Jeremy Corbyn was reinstated into the Labour Party.
So, yeah, I mean, this is a very, very painful story about what we would call institutional British anti-Semitism. It's really come out during Jeremy Corbyn's reign as head of the Labour Party in the UK. Interestingly, also allowed the UK Labour Party to hit one of its very lowest points in all time, almost, in that election that Jeremy Corbyn lost last time around, was just one of the lowest points of the UK Labour Party. And there can be no doubt that much of that was surrounding these anti-Semitism accusations, which have now been confirmed in the report that was issued by the Equality and Human Rights Commission from the UK. Jeremy Corbyn, of course, suspended from the Labour Party for criticising that report. He seems now to have apologised for that criticism. And Keir Starmer, the British Labour Party leader, has reinstated Jeremy Corbyn with a little tweet saying, another painful day for the Jewish community and those Labour members who have fought so hard to tackle anti-Semitism. We can have a very lengthy discussion, perhaps on another occasion, about what goes on within the UK in general and how anti-Semitism presents itself there. But this has really been a fascinating story expose for me to follow, having lived in the UK for some time and experienced some of what goes on there, and how anti-Semitism really is very institutionally based, and it's great that this has come out. So I'm not quite sure what it means about Jeremy Corbyn being reinstated, but certainly it keeps the story in the headlines for sure.
It does indeed, and as I said, so many more things I wanted to chat about. We are out of time, unfortunately, but we'll catch some of those stories with you tomorrow, same time. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Rach, thank you as always.